in a series entitled Exceed. Don't just meet your spouse's needs, exceed them. And we've been learning how can we, according to the Word of God, exceed the needs of our spouse. What can we learn and then apply to our life that our marriages will grow stronger? And that's what we've been striving to accomplish in this series. And this morning, out of Ecclesiastes 4 and then all over the Word of God, we're going to be learning this morning about exceeding his need for recreational companionship. Now, an elderly couple were sitting down one night and kind of engrossed in conversation. And the husband was in kind of a meditative mood and reflecting on their long marriage. And his name was Ralph and her name was Henrietta. And he asked the dreaded "if I die first" question. He said, "Henrietta, if I die first, would you remarry?" And she said, "Well, probably, Ralph. I mean, our marriage has been so wonderful and you've been so thoughtful. And I think you would want me to find happiness again." And he kind of thought about that, and I guess that sounded reasonable. He said, "Well, would you live here in this house with your new husband?" And she thought about that for a second and said, "Well, probably. And he said, "Well, would you sleep in our bed?" And she said, "Well, I guess." And he said, "Well, now you're not going to let him use my custom-made Jack Nicklaus special ping golf clubs, right?" And she said, "Oh, of course not, dear. He's left-handed." And sometimes, instead of focusing on our own relationship and making it what it should be, we sometimes get distracted and think, "Well, if this were different or if that were different or whatever." And this series is calling our attention to the spouse that God has given to us, and specifically us. What can we do to be better? How can we be a better husband and a better wife? And today we want to learn how to exceed his need for recreational companionship. Now, Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse number 9, and it's in your notes. The Bible says, "Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken." There's something about that togetherness. There's something about that unity that provides strength, and that should exist in our marriages. Now, I want to go off script for a minute. I want you to take your Bibles and go to the book of Malachi. Now, if you have your Bible, the first book of the New Testament is Matthew, so maybe find that first, all right? And then start working back to the Old Testament. The last book of the Old Testament is the book of Malachi. And I want you to go to that book, and then I want you to go to chapter number 2, all right? So an easy way to find it, go to the book of Matthew, go back a few pages to the book of Malachi, Malachi chapter number 2. I want to show a verse to you that we can launch our study off of. Malachi chapter 2 and verse number 14. Malachi chapter 2, verse 14, and maybe somebody around you doesn't have a copy of God's Word, try to share it with them. If you're a guest, I try to put all the scriptures in the notes, and this one is my fault. But Malachi chapter 2 and verse number 14, the Bible says, "Yet ye say, wherefore, because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet is she thy companion and the wife of the covenant." Now, the Hebrew root word for the word companion, Malachi chapter 2, verse number 14, implies an intimate partner or an accomplice. In the dictionary, the word companion is one who accompanies another. In the middle, the Latin word for companion is the word pan, meaning bread or comfort food. And the idea here in the scriptures of Malachi 2 is that a wife is to be a comfort to her husband, a companion. Then the verse goes on to say, "and the wife of thy covenant." Now, a covenant is a formal or binding agreement. The covenant implies that you are to be husband and wife forever, and that as his wife, you are to be his friend, his lover, his companion in this covenant relationship. Now, think about in the dating years. As you were getting to know one another, there was no problem in joining in on each other's interest. You just loved being together, spending time together. And so whatever activities you would do together, you greatly enjoyed them. And that greatly sealed in your heart the peace that this was going to be the one for you. And recreational compatibility is crucial for most men. Someone in whom they can enjoy doing things together in life. And they place a high importance on this recreational activity. And it's interesting that many couples in those dating years do things together that a lady would probably never choose to do on her own or by herself. But in those years of getting to know one another, it just came natural to enjoy these activities together. I remember when Suzanne and I were dating, and I was actually in Bible college, Brother Caesar, and in the summer I was going home. And I was working for a fence company, and I ran a crew, and we installed fence, and it's the way I paid our way through college. And I remember we would be out working all day. We would come back to the shop. A lot of the guys would go home, and it was my job to prepare for the next day. And part of that preparation was to make the gates for the jobs that we would install the next day. So I'd go to the pipe rack, I'd pull out the pipe. If it was 3, 5, or 7, I would cut the lengths that I needed. Then I would weld the gate frame together, and then I would cover it with chain link fabric or PDS or whatever it was so that we would have the gates ready for the job the next day. And that was my job to get all that done before I left. And oftentimes, Susanna would stop by the shop, and she would come into the welding room, and she would sit up on this ledge on the side of the room, and she would just be there while I did that work, and then we could go and do whatever I was going to do. And I was thinking of that when I was thinking about this lesson, thinking about that room was nasty. I mean, it wasn't just dirty. It was nasty. You remember that room, sweetheart? I mean, it was like, it was terrible. I mean, it was, number one, it was a welding room. So, I mean, there was soot and everything all over the place. Number two, it was all guys. So, I mean, it was just, it was not an ideal, clean workplace. I mean, it was just, it was terrible. But you know what? She didn't care. And she came into that environment, she sat on that ledge, and we would talk, and I would get that work done. And I think back to those days of getting to know one another and dating and all of that, and the fun that we had doing the kinds of things that really don't make a lot of sense. And it wasn't maybe an activity that she would have chosen. But because it was the two of us together doing things, it worked in the marriage relationship. And here's the problem. After marriage, sometimes wives can revert back to engaging in the activities that they really enjoy. And they will encourage their husband to do the same. And with his friends to do what he wants. And her with her friends to do what they enjoy. But this common drifting apart recreationally can cause a great danger to the marriage relationship because men place surprising importance on recreational activities, the memory garnered from the experience shared. So this morning, I want us to learn, how can we exceed in meeting the need in this area, exceeding his need for recreational companionship. So wives, here we go. Number one, we got to understand the importance of recreational companionship. Now, to really exceed this need, you got to understand it from a man's perspective. And I know I'm limited in my time this morning, but I'm going to give you the best that I can, all right? The importance of recreational companionship. Now, spending time together recreationally with his wife is ranked second only to sex for the typical husband. Now, that's not to say that that's the way it is for every husband in this room, but it is to say that many marriages surveyed and studied that most husbands place this idea of recreationally doing things together at a very high priority. It means something to them. It meets a need in their heart. The Bible says in Genesis 2:18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make a helpmeet for him. And men like spending time with their wives in this area of doing activity together. So why is this so important? Let me give you a couple thoughts. First of all, letter A, because of the deposit of time. The deposit of time. You mean doing things together results in spending time together. Now, God challenges you and I in His Word in Ephesians 5:16 that we are to redeem the time. And relational experts have discovered that women and men define intimacy differently. Most women define and pursue intimacy as talking together. But most men, on the other hand, define and pursue intimacy as doing activities together. So men place a high value on sharing in recreational activity together with their bride. And it meets a need of spending time together in that fashion, the deposit of time. But then secondly, let it be the development of togetherness. One author said, if you want to have a fulfilling marriage, your favorite recreational companion must be your spouse. Now, some of you might hear that and say, that's crazy. That's never going to happen. Well, let me pause and get you thinking for a minute. Did it used to be that way? Was there a time in your life where your favorite recreational companion was your spouse? Probably. In those dating years of getting to know one another, if you could throw a baseball with anybody on the planet, it would be her. And she may not even know how to throw. But it didn't matter. It was, we get to spend time together. I remember, that gave me another story, sweetheart, and I see you laughing. I remember one time on a date, Suzanne and I were throwing baseball, and I forget even now where it was, and I forget all that happened exactly, but I think the sun had much to do with the problem, and I threw it to her, and I think she just lost sight of the ball at the wrong time, and instead of catching it in the glove, it hit her right in the eye. Man, did I feel bad. And she got a little bit of a shiner, and I felt like a jerk, you know. But I still remember it to this day. So I don't know what that means about spending time together in that way. But you make memories, and you enjoy things. And I think that if you were honest and you went back to those early years, you would say that there was a spirit of togetherness that was being developed because we just did stuff together. And we did the kind of things together that he or she may not choose to do on their own or by themselves. But because it was the two could enjoy it together, they were being accomplished. And we need to understand that as it comes to marriage. The Bible challenges you and I in Ecclesiastes 9:9 to live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy life of thy vanity, which with he hath given thee under the sun all the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion in this life, and in thy labor which thou hast taken under the sun. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days. God did not intend marriage to start off awesome and then to get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse until Ralph dies and Henrietta gets a left-handed golf player. That's not God's intention. God's intention is that marriage starts off great and then just keeps getting better and better and better and better. That's God's intention. But if it's going to happen, we have to place marriage in the priority that God places it. And we have to put the tools and the adjustments in there as well. The Bible says in Romans 15:5, now the God of patience and consolation grants you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God. God wants you and I to have that kind of unity, that kind of togetherness in our marriage. And I'm submitting to you this morning, one of the key ingredients to having that is do stuff together. Enjoy activity together. Have fun together. Make memories together. You're going to be developing a togetherness that maybe you've not experienced since you were first getting to know one another. So it's important. But secondly, notice with me in our study this morning, the instruction for recreational companionship. Okay, so it's important. It's a need that he has, and I want to exceed in meeting it. How? What do I do? I mean, how do we go from where we are right now to what it is that you're describing? Well, let me give you some instruction for exceeding in this area of recreational companionship. Letter A, you must discover mutual recreational interest. You must discover mutual recreational interest. Now, I know some of you are already thinking, we don't have any. I know what I like to do. I know what he likes to do. I know what she likes to do. And we don't like anything the same. Can I tell you something in love? You're wrong. So here's my challenge. And this is going to be part of your discussion this week, if you so decide to do it. To sit down and to jot down, what do you enjoy doing recreationally? What kind of activities you enjoy? And here's what you will find. You will discover that as he writes his down and she writes hers down, that there's going to be an overlap. there's going to be a section of activity that you both enjoy. And as you begin to look at the various lists, you're going to almost maybe even be surprised if you would enjoy that and oh, you would like that. And what you're going to find is that you do have mutually enjoyable activities that you could be doing together. As you look at what he enjoys and what she enjoys, there's going to be an overlap of recreational interests that you would share together. And then, letter B, my challenge would be, do only those recreational activities that you and your spouse can enjoy together. Do those. Do those recreational activities that you and your spouse can enjoy together. Now, you say, good night, if we could only do that, what kind of recreational activity in life are we going to have? Now, can I just submit to you a thought? Nobody in this room can do every activity they want to do. There's not enough time. There's not enough money. I would love to go snorkeling in Hawaii every week. That's one I thought of this week. Suzanne, if you want to write it down, it would be great. No. Oh my. I would love to do that. That's probably not going to happen. Time, money, all of those things. So we're not going to be able to do everything we want to do. So we're already making choices what we can do. So I just want to ask you a question. So why not choose to do this area right here that you both enjoy? This is what she enjoys. This is what he enjoys. Here's the section that both of you mutually enjoy this together. Why not do those things? Well, that means I may not do this. Or that means I may not do that. Well, you're not doing it all anyway. So why not make the choice to do what you both would enjoy doing together? It's going to develop a togetherness in your marriage that's greatly going to aid in strengthening your relationship. So do only those things that you both would enjoy. We can't do everything anyway. So make your marriage and your spouse a priority. Make it to where you're enjoying these activities and these memories together. And a husband needs his wife to be that friend, that recreational partner. And again, back to Malachi, that companion and thy covenant wife. The Bible says in Proverbs 2:17, which forsaketh the God of her youth and forgiveth the covenant of her God. My marriage is not successful because I'm happy. My marriage is successful when we both are doing well. I can't look at this from, well, if I don't get to do this, this, and this, then forget it, hang it. You know, if she doesn't like to do, you know, bull riding, then this just isn't going to work. Because if I can't bull ride, then I just can't live. Exactly. Mrs. Salty probably could write it, though. I don't know. Anyway, so you may look at a particular activity and say, man, if I can't do that, I don't. Listen, marriage is not just about us. Marriage is about the couple, the husband and the wife, the togetherness. And so we're going to have to lay aside some things and say, hey, let's focus on these things that we can enjoy together. What's more important than the quality of our marriage? I've got to watch that football game. I've got to be involved in that book club. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. You don't. The marriage is more important. Galatians 5:13, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Prove your love to your spouse by following this exercise and saying, hey, we're going to do only that what we both enjoy. So the instruction, how do we have this togetherness? And thirdly, see with me this morning the incentive for recreational companionship. And I want us, as we look at this, to look at three reasons why, as a spouse, we should discover and then do the recreational activities that we both can enjoy together. I want to give you three reasons, these incentives, to add this to your relationship, or if you have it already, to strengthen it and make it an area of priority and focus. Letter A, because it reflects that care. It reflects the care that both spouses should have for each other. When we follow this instruction and we say, you know what, we're going to do what we both mutually enjoy doing together, it reflects the fact You care for one another. The Bible says in Philippians 2:4, let not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Can I submit a thought to you this morning as husbands and wives? If a spouse sacrifices his or her enjoyment in order for an activity to be accomplished, then it means that their spouse is willing to gain at their expense. Now, let's just stop and have an honest discussion. If I hold to my guns about a particular activity, and my wife, being godly as she is, says, okay, we'll do that together, and we engage in that activity, and I'm having fun, and she is miserable, and if I am okay with that, can I just ask you an honest question? What does that make me? Selfish? Immature? Absolutely. Absolutely. Who am I if in my marriage I'm okay with, well, as long as I'm happy? Really? That's the criteria? I thought Ephesians 5 said, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Amen. I thought that was the biblical example. I thought the idea was that I was supposed to lay down my life so that I could serve. And if I lead in that fashion and she responds in that fashion, then we should be able to find this mutual care being expressed by the fact that we're no longer okay with doing stuff in married life that one or the other thoroughly enjoys and the other one absolutely despises, and being okay with that, but rather making adjustments to find mutually enjoyable recreational activity. And when we do, it reflects that care that we are to have one for the other. Letter B, they stand up over time. If you find something you truly both enjoy, guess what? You're likely to keep doing it. You're likely to keep engaging in that activity. You're going to enjoy it. It's going to last for a while. Hey, do you want more affection in your relationship? Then learn to express affection in a way you both enjoy. You want to talk more in your relationship? Learn to converse in a way you both enjoy. You want to have more sex in your relationship? Then learn to make love in a way that you both enjoy. It's not rocket science. It's learning your spouse and saying, hey, I can't live a self-centered, selfish life. I have to live for my spouse, know what they need, know what they enjoy, and live for them. And if I'll do it, it works. It works. They'll stand up over time if we will discover what each other enjoys. Spending more time together as a recreational companion, making sure that the activity is being enjoyed by both, it's going to bring great strength your relationship. The Bible says in Philippians 2:2, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Wouldn't it be great if that was the description of every marriage in this room? That it could be said of you and your spouse, like-minded, same love, one accord, one mind. That togetherness, that unity, that strength, that core, that bond. How do we have that? And there's several ingredients. That's why the series is more than 1 week long. But today we're talking about the ingredient of recreational companionship. Doing things together you both would enjoy. Thirdly, letter C, what's the incentive? It ensures deposits into each other's love accounts. Remember a couple weeks ago we learned about love banks and making deposits? Well, men love recreation. They feel good about these activities and the memories that they make. And if these moments of activity are shared with their spouse and those good feelings of those activities are associated with their wife, then they're making great memories together. They're depositing into that love bank. And I just want to encourage every husband and every wife to make sure you understand the value of when you're enjoying those activities and making those memories and doing those things, that both of you being together, there's something valuable to that. And sometimes some wives can think, well, good night, we spent this whole evening together, we did this hike, we did this, we did that, he seemed to love it, we didn't say but 10 words, I don't even see how it made any difference at all. God made us differently. And while there needs to be intimate conversation in the marriage, hence the lesson we taught 2 weeks ago, But there needs to be recreational activity. And a recreational activity may include some conversation. It may include very little. It's very hard to have a very deep conversation while you snorkel. It just is. But you can have a great memory together. And there's a deposit that is being made in that. And it's one that he will never forget. So number four, I want us to see the increase from recreational companionship. If you're willing to take the challenge to strive to become your spouse's favorite recreational partner, what's the increase? What's in it for you? Letter A, time and attention. Time and attention. Remember a couple weeks ago in our class when we discussed that great marriages spend 15 hours a week together? Now that was a statement made on the lesson about conversation. You know what everybody left here fearing? We have to talk for 15 hours a week? What are we going to talk about, you know? And we got 15 minutes down and we're like trying to make stuff up, you know. What are we going to do? I have great news. Yes, 15 hours a week should be the goal. No, you don't have to talk the whole 15 hours. In fact, a portion of that time can be devoted to spending time together doing recreational activity, having fun, making memories, exploring and experiencing things together. The Bible says in Philippians 1:9, "And this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve those things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ." Lord wants our love to abound. He wants us to discover things about ourselves and then to prove those things. And I want to encourage us as husbands and wives to identify activities we would enjoy, to engage in those activities, and we will find the benefit of the time and the attention spent. Spouses need time together. I like as one author put it, he said, spouses should divert daily. Daily, just have a diversion together. They should withdraw weekly, maybe a date night or just something where it's just the two of them. And then he said they should abandon annually. They should just get out of Dodge and be together. Divert daily, withdraw weekly, abandon annually. Have some time where you're getting together with your spouse. It's going to meet a great need in their heart. And then letter B, the increase will come in the fulfillment from meeting a basic need. Now, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 7:3, "Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband." We're challenged in that passage, defraud ye not one the other. We're to meet each other's needs, and I want to encourage you this morning to understand that many husbands put a high value on recreational activity, together enjoying recreational companionship together with their spouse. And I want to encourage you to recognize this is a need that he has. And it may not be number two. For him, it may be number 10. It may be number one. I don't know. You'll have to ask him. But a lot of husbands value this highly, all right? So if this is a need that he has, then how can I exceed in meeting that need? And that's what we want to discover from this lesson and apply those truths to our lives. Why? Because the couple that plays together stays together. Life is stressful. Deadlines, work, bills, responsibility, children. Gotta love them. Life is life. And if we're not careful, there was a really vital ingredient to the beginning of our relationship that if we were honest right now, it doesn't even exist. We used to have fun together. We used to go do stuff. And I'm not saying this is not a guilt trip to go spend $1,000. You could go hike this week and spend none. So don't give me this excuse. Well, we would be doing a lot more if we had money. Listen, we could spend a whole lesson on what to do with no money. Okay? But it is recognizing the fact that we did do this stuff. And we've got to get back to it. And we can't swallow the excuse of, well, she likes this and he likes this and we just can't find anything anymore. I just don't even know if we're compatible. Look at the stuff you did when you dated. You're telling me you did that because you both loved it? No. You just love being together. It kind of didn't even matter what it was. And I'm not saying you should do something you hate. So find the stuff you both can enjoy. And maybe one of you is going to learn something new and discover you enjoy something you didn't even know that much about. But find it. Do it. Prioritize it. You're going to find it brings some time and attention, some focus, and the meeting of a critical need in your relationship. Now, would you take your hand out this morning, and inside of the bulletin, there is a piece of paper, and we have called it the discussion questions, week 5 discussion questions. Would you grab this? This is totally optional. You don't have to do this if you don't want. Suzanne and I have been doing this, and we've been loving it, been enjoying it, been having a lot of fun, and been learning a lot as well. So week 5 discussion questions, and here's how it works, and we're going to pray, and we're going to go. This week is a little different. It's designed for everyone in here to fill it out. So I'm really kind of talking to the wives this morning, how to exceed his need for recreational companionship. But for the weekly discussion, I want both the husband and wife to fill it out. Question number 1, what activities do we both enjoy? Now again, you got a list. What does he enjoy? What does she enjoy? Remember that graph? And then what's in the middle that you both would enjoy? Discover 5 or 7 that you both would enjoy. Number 2, when are you going to do those? Get them on the calendar. Number 3, are there activities you should discontinue for a while? Maybe there's something he really loves or she really loves, but he's never going to do that and she's never going to do that. Well, maybe pause. Maybe say, you know what? While I enjoy this Bronco bull riding, as Brother Salty does, but if I just can't get Claudia to come over to this recreation activity, then I'm going to have to suspend it this fall season and get back into the rodeo circuit next year, and we're going to have to find something here. All right. So there may be something we pause for a season, at least, because we're really going to focus on things we would enjoy together. Number 4, what activity can we plan to look forward to in the near future? Maybe something a little bigger, maybe a little overnight excursion or something of this nature that we could plan and do. And then number 5, and this is where it gets personal, what could your spouse do to be a better recreational companion? Honestly speaking, not being hurtful, but speaking the truth in love. What could your wife, what could your husband do in this area to be better? And then come together on a date this week and let's discuss these things. How can we grow in recreational companionship? How can we get back to having fun? How can we get back to doing stuff that we both would enjoy that would greatly strengthen and enhance our marriages? The whole goal of this series is stronger marriages. The whole goal of this series is to get us thinking and talking. You know, there are some things that we can make some adjustments and we could be better. So let's be willing to do that. So that we can be strong, so that we can be where we need to be moving forward. That's the heart of the whole thing. So let's spend some time this week doing that. And I want to encourage you to do that. I think it will greatly help that his need for recreational companionship would be exceeded, that your marriage would strengthen because you're meeting this need, you're spending this time, you're having this fun, you're making these memories. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for some time together this morning in your word. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless every marriage represented in this room as we strive to exceed in the meeting of the needs of our spouse. And today, as we look about exceeding his need for recreational companionship, may there be an understanding and an awareness. May there be an understanding of how to make that happen. May we be willing to set aside our own preferences and agendas and really to live for our spouse. May we mutually discover what we both would enjoy. And then may we implement that in our lives and relationships. And I pray this simple lesson and these simple thoughts would lead to many marriages in this room having fun and laughing and making memories. And may that bring a strength and a togetherness and a closeness to the relationship that it so vitally needs if it's going to thrive in this day and age. I pray that you bless every home in this room. Bless us this week as we implement these thoughts and bring us back together safely next Sunday as we continue in this series. And we'll praise and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.